We make you one and all very welcome this evening. It's very good to see quite a number who have gathered, and especially as there are other meetings on nearby, we're very glad to see you here. And we thank you for coming, the time you've given. Remember, please, the meetings as they continue each night until Friday, in the will of the Lord. Remember that meeting too on Friday night as well, each night at 7:30. And we'll be glad to see you back again if you can come. And we're grateful you have come tonight. Make you very welcome in the Lord's name. Now tonight I want to read, please, in the Old Testament and the book of Ruth. Ruth chapter 2. And we'll read in this chapter from verse 1. And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, Let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, Go, my daughter. And she went, and came, and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem, and said unto the reapers, The Lord be with you. And they answered him, The Lord bless thee. Then said Boaz unto his servant that was set over the reapers, Whose damsel is this? And the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, It is the Moabitish damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. And she said, I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and hath continued even from the morning until now, that she tarried a little in the house. Then said Boaz unto Ruth, Hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go unto the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn. Then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, Why have I found grace in thine eyes that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? And Boaz answered and said unto her, It hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother, and the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. Then she said, Let me find favour in thy sight, my Lord, for that thou hast comforted me, and for that thou hast spoken friendly unto thine handmaid, though I be not like unto one of thine handmaidens. And Boaz said unto her, At mealtime come thou hither, and eat of the bread, and dip thy morsel in the vinegar. And she sat beside the reapers, and he reached her parched corn. And she did eat, and was sufficed, and left. And when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, Let her glean, even among the sheaves, and reproach her not. And let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her, and leave them, that she may glean them, and rebuke her not. So she gleaned in the field until even, and beat out that she had gleaned. And it was about an ephah of barley. Now we know the Lord will bless. This reading we have had from his word. Now, as all likely will know, the subject or the theme or the title of our week's meditations is spiritual business development. And we're drawing some lessons from the world of business and applying it to assembly gatherings and to our input into assembly life. Last night we were thinking about securing the investment, and we read in 1 Chronicles and chapter 29, that great occasion when David stood before all the congregation of Israel, and there was given an abundance for the house of God. And we saw that there is still a need. There's still a desperate need for investment in the house of God in every way, not only financially. That wasn't really what we were thinking about, but our time and our talents to be invested in the house of God. And we learned that we're all really investors, every one of us. We're investing every day, either for this world or the world to come. You have invested today your time for either this world or that which is eternal. Tonight before us is the thought now of the workforce and employees and the work environment. You will know, and these are not business lectures by no stretch of the imagination, but we're just drawing lessons and applying them. You will know that in any work environment that employees are vital. They are the cornerstone, the foundation of the success of any organization. You will know as well that businesses do business with people. Very often, it's people and relationships between people that win business and that win investment and that win advancement in the world of business. That's all I'm going to say in the line of business. As you know, these are not business lectures. But what we have here in Ruth chapter 2 is a work environment. And I want to see that the importance of people in this chapter. There's a harvest that needed gathered in. There was a work that needed done. And I know it's all very much on the surface here, but integral to the gathering in of this harvest was a workforce that was out in this field busy, many doing different tasks that we will see in just a moment or two. But the whole workforce that is gathered in this field, employed and laboring for the man Boaz, who of course is a picture of Christ, all laboring for him, and all laboring together, and all with the objective in view of advancing the cause and advancing the welfare and the harvest of Boaz. And whenever we come to assembly life, you know, that's one of the things I want to speak just here quickly, a number of little headings. I want to speak about the importance of people. You see, a business can't survive without people. And preferably people who are motivated, people who care, people who are hardworking. And the assembly can't survive without people. You don't have an assembly if you don't have people. You know, whenever we come to the book of Nehemiah in chapter 1, Nehemiah is in the palace, and there comes into that palace those who carry word from his homeland. And he asks concerning, he asks two things. He asks concerning Jerusalem, the place. And then he also asks about the Jews, and that's the people. And whenever Nehemiah is asking about the place, he knows that the place and the people are linked. And he has a care, he has a care in his heart for the both. You see, we need to be very, very careful and not lopsided in our thinking at times. You know, we care about the place, the assembly. I don't mean the building now. You know what I mean. And we care that divine principles and divine order is seen, that things are done properly and in accordance with God's word. And that's all valuable. And it's all vital. But we need to be careful that's not the only thing we care about. We could become so fixated about the place and that everything is done properly and that everything is in order that we miss the people. And we neglect the people. And I haven't been around too many corners, but what I have observed is this. If we neglect the people and we're focused entirely on the place, there'll soon be no place. And then you see, the other balance needs to be held too, because we can become so fixated about the people, we forget about the place. And we say, well, we need to get more people. We need to attract more people. And if we leave aside this principle, and if we leave aside this thing, we'll get more people. And we forget about the place, and it's all centered around the people. I heard recently of a place that there was a young brother stopping sisters at the door, not in this land, another land. A young brother stopping sisters that had been in fellowship for 60 years at the door and telling them the way they were dressed was stopping people from coming to the meetings. And he wanted to ditch the dignity and the respect and the honor that they show to God's name and God's place. All to pursue more people to come. And what I'm saying just now is this. There is an importance attached to people, as we will see as we go through this chapter and my little message and what is on my heart. But we need to be careful. We need to be careful because the two are vital. And so we see in this chapter the importance of people. We need a care for the both. We see as well in this chapter and this is very closely linked, the interest that there was in people in this chapter. You see, you will know It's a poor business, or it's a poor workplace where you just come and go, and you're just people complain. They don't like to feel like a number, and that no one knows them, and that no one has any care about them, that no one is interested in them. That's a very, very poor working environment. But here in this place, in this field, for the people who were working in the field, there was an interest in them. And I'm thinking now particularly of Ruth in the field. You see, whenever Boaz came to the field, he said, whose damsel is this? He had an interest in those who were in his field and those who were working in the field. And he inquired after her. And then the man he asked was the servant who was set over the reapers. He was the overseer, if you like. He was the man who was overseeing the gathering in of the harvest. And whenever Boaz asked this man and said, "Whose damsel is this?" The man wasn't embarrassed. He knew who she was. He didn't have to say, "Well, I have no idea. I'd have to go away and find her." He knew straight away, and he answered him. And by his answer, he demonstrated that he knew all about her. And the overseer in this field, look at what he says here in verse number 6. He says, "It's the Moabitish damsel." He knew about her homeland. She's the Moabitish damsel. He knew as well about her household. He said here, not as well, he says, that she came back with Naomi. She's linked with Naomi. And then he also knew about her hardships, because he says they came out of the country of Moab. He knew about the journey that they had made. And later on in verse number 11, Boaz now speaking, he speaks to Ruth and he says, "I know that thou hast left thy father and thy mother." He knew about the death of thine husband and how she had left the land of her nativity. And you see, all I'm trying to convey here is that there were men in this field, and they cared for this young woman. They understood her hardships, how she has left the land of her nativity. She's lost her husband. They knew about the journey from the land of Moab back. They knew all about her. And I'm not qualified now, but all I'm doing is drawing the lesson for us. And maybe it would apply to us all. Now, I don't believe this was a nosiness. You need to be careful not to step over the bounds. You see, this woman, she wasn't made feel so uncomfortable by their prying questions that she hardly wanted to be in the field. She wasn't skirting, I'm applying it now, she wasn't skirting around the outside of the hall to bypass somebody, because she knew she would get a few intrusive questions, questions that were just too far. No. Here was a woman, and she was laboring in this field. And the men who were set over the field, the overseers in the field, they knew where she was from. They knew to whom she was related, and they knew all the problems, the hardships she faced in her life. And that's a great quality in any overseer. And they had an interest as well. You know, this woman... Ruth in the field. If you were to rank the people in this field by order of importance, Boaz, the servant over the reapers. All the people who were laboring, you know, just at the very bottom of the list, you would have Ruth. And yet they cared for her. She wasn't really, she was a stranger in this field. As we would say, we have our phrases. We would call her We would call, not only an outsider, we would call her a rank outsider. You see, it's easy for us to care for our families and to care for those who are related to us and to care for those whose parents are in assembly fellowship as well. But here is someone who is in, and I'm applying it now, she's in the fellowship in this field and she's not related to anyone else, and yet the care that they had for the others, they expressed to her as well. That's a lovely thing. It's a lovely thing when each and every one, regardless of their background or their pedigree, feel that they're adequately cared for and loved. Were you ever speaking to someone and maybe it was a bit of a crowded place? I had this many a time when I was working. Speaking to someone, some big event or something, and then someone more important walks by and they just drop you. See, you're not important enough. Someone more important has walked past and they're just dying to be seen by them and to talk to them. And you know, just in an instant, you realize how important you are. That's not how Ruth was treated. Whenever it came to the mealtime, she sat with the reapers. She wasn't made feel inferior. She wasn't pushed out to the corners, even though the work she did was a very menial work. And so we're learning in this chapter the importance of people and their interest in people. The third thing I want to think about is her interview for the field. You know that for the vast majority of people, there's an interview takes place before you join any sort of an organization. Well, this was the very same. She had an interview. And we read about it here in verse number 7. She spoke to the overseer in the field. Because his account of it, he says, "I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves." And in this interview that takes place between the overseer and Ruth, who desires to come into the field, they ascertain that here is a young woman and she wants to be healed. She said, "I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers." They ascertain, first of all, that she wants to be there. You know, I'll leave aside the examples. One of the things that is ascertained in any interview, does this person want to be here? Because you don't want people who don't want to be there. And this young woman coming into the field, in this interview she says, I pray you, let me glean. She says, "I want to be in the field." And then she says, "I want to work when I'm there. I not only want to be there, but I want to labor." And they ascertain she wants to be there and that she wants to work. the third thing they ascertain as she is coming into this field to labour is they see her attitude. You know, I think it's one of the most beautiful attitudes. You know, this whole chapter is a chapter of grace and graciousness and tenderness. And as she's coming into this field, listen to what she says. She says, "I pray you." A gentle spirit. And in all that she said, and in all that she conveyed the attitude and the spirit that for me to be in this field and in this place, it will be the utmost privilege. She didn't have the attitude that it'll be a privilege for them to have her. Her attitude was, "It will be a privilege for me to be there." She says, "I pray you, let me glean." And you know, one of the things as well that is given for us here in these verses, that, and it's also in what Boaz said to Ruth, "Go not to glean in another field." You see, this matter of being in this field and of labouring in it was so important. And the gathering in of the harvest for Boaz was so important that it wasn't just treated lightly. People weren't allowed just to come and go just as they please. This wasn't a casual fellowship. And this is not really my exercise, but there's a rise, there's an increase in the thought. And indeed it has been taught that you can be in fellowship when you like. And you can come and go. And you can be in this field and wander into another field and come back to this field and be here then for a couple of months in this field and then not be in it and then back in it. You know, that's contrary to the teaching of the New Testament. To not only the teaching of Acts chapter 2 that gives us the order, a very clear doctrinal order that is followed, and the thought of being added, not only by those doctrinal statements, but also by the example of others. Look at Saul of Tarsus. And we haven't time to delay on that. But this woman coming into the field, she knew it was a privilege, and she was happy to be there and to stay there in the field. Her interview for the field. And you will know, and I'll only make this statement and move on. Those things that I have mentioned, not only in any interview for fellowship, is to understand that the person seeking fellowship is saved and baptized. That's fundamental. But do they want to be there? You say, well, they would hardly be asking for fellowship. But it does no harm to ask. Why is it they want to be there? And are they prepared to shoulder some of the responsibility when they are there? That's the look. And maybe I should speak to those of us who are younger, that as she come into this field, she said, "Listen, I'm going to throw myself into the work of this place, and I will be happy to share my burden of the work, and I will apply myself to it." And she came in with this attitude that this is a privilege for me. Oh, I tell you, what a privilege it is to be allowed by God to bear some little part of responsibility. You say, but what? Ruth's doing the most menial task, the worst job in all of it. She said, "I don't care what I'll be doing in this place. I'll just be glad to be there." She was happy to glean her interview for the field. Then, the other thing we have here is her induction to the field. And you know the part of the induction of any person into anything is to make them feel welcome. You know, I said last night these would be all very simple things. And what could be more simple? You see, it says here in verse number 13, she said, "Let me find favor in thy sight, thou hast comforted me." And then she says, "Thou hast spoken friendly. Thou hast spoken friendly unto thine handmaid." You see, Ruth was a newcomer to the field and desperately simple, but they made her feel welcome. And they spoke friendly to her. They didn't gaze at her and wonder, "What's she doing here?" They weren't throwing surly looks at her and thinking, "She's no right to be in this field." They made her welcome. They spoke friendly to her. They spoke to her with civility and with respect. And you know, anyone who comes into the fellowship, we should be friendly. And in fact, anyone coming into our meetings. You see, the job, there's tasks that we grade almost. And you see, that doing the job at the door there is just about one of the lowest. Maybe turning the seats is lower. But I tell you, it's one of the most vital tasks. To greet people. To make them feel welcome. To be friendly. Is that too far? It's not breaking any divine commandment to smile and be friendly and to be warm and welcoming. And to make people feel, I started to tell the story, so about our little boy was at a meeting recently, a few weeks ago, and he's only six, a child. The things you learn from a child is powerful. And he said, I learned from it. And he said on the way home, he said, "Daddy," he says, I don't know if that man was glad I was there or not." That's what he said. I says, "Why did you think that, Edward?" He says, "Well," he says, "his handshake," he says, "I just didn't feel that he wanted me to be there." That's what a child picked up from a handshake, because it was a bit limp. There's no warmth about it. "We're glad to see you. Thanks for coming." Is that too simple? Her induction into the field, she felt welcome. What about the interaction in the field? You'll know in your workplace, you see if everybody's fighting among themselves, it's a bad job. It's great when everyone's working together. Look at the interactions in this field. We have these workers working, the interactions among themselves. Look at all the variety of tasks, the reapers, the overseer, the gleaners, those providing provisions, the young men drawing the water, many, many activities. There were men and women in this field. There were old and young. And they all valued each other. And the reaper didn't look at the job that the gleaners were doing and say, "Those people are of no use to us. Get them out of the field. We're the important people here." No, you see, they all work together. There's no sense in this chapter that anyone thought they were above anyone else. They're all here fulfilling their responsibilities, and they were all needed. The old men were needed. I tell you, they were needed. They had gathered in a harvest or two before. They knew what was involved. They knew all the hollows in the field, all the soft spots. They understood all that was involved in gathering in this harvest. The young men were needed. With all their energy and vitality and their strength, they worked together, and they were kept together. Women were needed as well. And so we see here these all working together. You see, we need to remember that my contribution to the assembly is not in competition with your contribution. It's not to compete with it. It's to complement it. And these people who labored, they worked together, and all their activities, all these various activities that took place in this field, they all complemented each other. And then not only do we have in this field the interaction of the workers among themselves, but then we have the interaction of Ruth with the workers. You see, whenever Ruth came into this field, she was conscious that this field existed long before she came. And in fact, the work that was ongoing in the field was going on long before she ever arrived in it. And whenever she came into this field, she didn't try to revolutionize the whole thing and say, "These men know nothing about gathering in a harvest," and turn the whole thing. She just fitted right in. To the work that was going on in this field, she fitted in. And she interacted, and she didn't hinder the work of others in the field. And the others in the field didn't hinder her work. In fact, they helped it. Isn't that a great thing, to be able to help others? I wish I was able to do it. One of the greatest things that you could do in life to help others. And they helped her. They left the handfuls of purpose. They said, let her gather among the sheaves. Don't be rebuking her. Let her at her work. And where you can, help her in it. I wonder, are we sensitive? Those especially with the wisdom that I do not have, but those with the wisdom and the years of experience, are we sensitive to identify where we can help others make their contribution? Or are we running around the field trying to do the reaping, trying to do the gleaning, trying to oversee the work, trying to speak to Boaz? Don't let anybody else in. Don't give anyone else the credit. That wasn't the way they worked. And Ruth fitted in, and she worked she worked with those who were already in the field. Then we have the interaction, not only of Ruth with the workers, but we have the interaction of Boaz with the reapers. It says here in verse number 4, Boaz came and he said to the reapers, he says, "The Lord be with you." And whatever little bits of jobs I had different times, I never had anyone came to my desk and said, "The Lord be with you." Certainly never had an employer like that. Boaz didn't arrive in this field and say, "Why is the harvest not all in?" He spoke with grace. "The Lord be with you." And you see the way he dealt with these reapers. It was responded in kind. Because they said to him, "The Lord bless thee." Isn't that a lovely way to speak to each other in the assembly? "The Lord be with thee. The Lord bless thee." With tenderness and with love, our subject for Thursday, and with care, Boaz, he interacts with the people. And then we have the interaction of Ruth with Boaz. This is how they all work together. And you know the lovely thing I see here, and I at times running out on us, but I'll just say this and move on. One of the most beautiful things in this whole chapter is that the longer Ruth spent in this field, the closer she grew to Boaz. Not lovely. First of all, he spoke to her. And then he fed her. You know, what is it? What is one of the mighty privileges and blessings of assembly fellowship? It's to grow closer to our heavenly Boaz, to hear his voice, and to be fed from his hand. And then we have here not only the interaction in the field, what I have called the intensity of the field. You see, this was hard work for Ruth. Ruth is what would be called in business circles a self-starter. Whenever she landed in this field, she knew what to do, and she got at it. She saw a need and she filled it. Anyone like that in the assembly who sees a need? A few long silences in the Bible reading. There's a need, you see, but to fill that need is going to take an awful lot of work. Work that will never be seen. You know, I take it the focus. If you had landed in this field, and yeah, but it's a bit like what's going on now, the silage had all been gathered. And you look into the field. There's a field there beside us today, and there's a tractor and a mower cutting the grass. Well, when I looked into that field, I didn't look at the corner of the field. I looked at the tractor and the mower. I take it, if you had looked over the hedge into this field, that your eye would have been taken up with the reaping. That's where the cluster of activity was in the field. And then scattered. Here, What's this away over in the corner? There's a woman. And she stooped over and bent over, and she's just in the dust of the field. You see, there was nothing. There wasn't any great. You'll forgive me for this. There was no great glory in the job she was doing. She had reward for it. But it was hard work, largely unseen and unnoticed. But my, when the day was finished, she had a little harvest all of her own, an ephah of barley. That was used not only to feed herself, but to feed others as well. You see that need, the need. And I'm only picking one, the need in the Bible reading. It'll take hours, and it'll be back-breaking work, and it'll be slow work. But you'll have at the end of it, by the Lord's help and by His grace, you'll have something that will feed your soul and feed others as well. That's what we need. The intensity of the feed. And in all this work, and in the intensity of the work of the field, Ruth had encouragements. She was encouraged in verse number 2 by Naomi. She said, "Go, my daughter." She had encouragement to come to the field. But then when she was in the field, that's not where the encouragement all ended. You see, we know there's a few young people, and they've been saved and baptized, and we'd like to encourage them to come into the assembly. But then once you're in it, that's the encouragement all over. But there was encouragement for her. Because Boaz, and I know Boaz speaks of Christ, but listen, there was a man, he said to her, what is it here? If I can find the verse. He says here, verse number 12, "The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel." You know, whenever he spoke to her, he recognized at least two things. One, that she actually did work. And two, he encouraged her that the Lord would reward it. And maybe at times there's a brother or a sister. Now he didn't say things here that weren't true. And sometimes we lose our heads and we commend and pat people in the back where it's not warranted. But this was all true. And he said to Ruth, "Now I see that you have worked in this field." And he says, "The Lord will reward it." And I'm not making a big issue out of it. But maybe, every now and again. You see, the people who are coming and going, and who are the backbone of the, who are there at every meeting, maybe overlooked. Maybe a young sister. You know, that's... This brother did say, "Now I had liberty on time here. So I'll just take 2 minutes. You know, one of the things that I've kind of mentioned and passed over a little bit is Ruth's attitude in the field. You see, she brought in a lovely attitude. "I pray thee." And don't forget that to every meeting you bring an attitude. To every meeting. You say, "But sir, it's all, the main thing is your attitude, you're the speaker." Every one of us, we bring an attitude to the meeting. And if I come to the meeting with some old chip on my shoulder and some old surly attitude, don't think for a moment that that doesn't affect the meeting, because it does. It does. It does. But the converse is also true. A young sister that comes to the meeting with an attitude to hear the voice of God just quietly coming and going, I tell you, you bring an attitude and it affects the meeting. We all bring an attitude and it affects for good or ill. There's much, much more in this chapter. I'm going to say one more thing, and that's we'll leave. The last thing I wanted to mention was the instruction in the field. I want to go to a sentence, I'll do it. I'll not take any time. Any more time. You know, one of the things, in fact, the first thing that Boaz said to Ruth, you see, she got instructions. We don't like instructions. We don't like taking orders or commands. It's just something that's warped into our very being. It's as old as Adam himself. But Ruth, when she was in this field, she got an instruction. And what was the first instruction she got? I was going to think of all the others, but I'll leave all them. Just want to leave this last one with you. The first one that she received, verse number 7. He says, go not to glean in another field. He says, you stay here. You stay here. And while you're here, you labor. And as you labor, there will be refreshment for your soul. There will be a reward. And look at the reward that Ruth hath in these coming chapters. I have to leave that all aside. And it just brings us back to where we were last night, the investment in the assembly will be rewarded. People are vital. Let's care for them. Let's care for one another. Let's help one another in our work. And may we be engaged in this work for our heavenly Boaz. May the Lord bless his work. Our Father, we bow before thee in the precious name of the Lord Jesus. We thank thee for the privilege of being associated with the work of the Lord. We thank thee for the privilege of being associated with assembly testimony and bearing testimony to the name of our risen Lord until he comes again. We pray that we may be touched again of how great a privilege this is, and that thou would help us to put our all into assembly fellowship and into the things of God. We commend each one to thee. Each believer is precious to thyself, and we pray that thou would help us care one for another. And so we commend thy word to thee and pray thou would preserve us to our homes in safety. We think now of those who preach the gospel. Bless them just now, we pray, and grant further news of salvation. We commit our need to thee in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.